Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. Everything's operating right in here again. You notice that?
Is it?
Oh, no, no, no. That was...
Oh,
oh,
no.
The relief guy is still in the room.
That was nice.
You did a phenomenal job.
Be nice to him so I can have vacation.
No, he did a phenomenal
job.
I'm just feeling my oats this morning.
You did come in with a little extra spunk today.
I did. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what that's all about. 5:01 is our time. We got the whole crew here. The whole Carlin crew is in the house today. How was vacation, Sputnik?
It was so good. I climbed a mountain. I went tubing down rafts. What is it called?
Cool.
Rafting? Tubing.
No, tubing.
You went down rafting? Rafting?
Yes.
You white water rafting?
You shot the rapids?
You know, the in Denver? Like,
yeah.
Golden. It's Golden that they have the little, like,
Golden.
Yes.
Yes.
Like little creek thing where you go down. So I wouldn't call it white water rafting, but it was like close, and I flipped out of the tube.
Oh, did you have fun?
Ooh.
It was my husband's fault, but it did happen.
Oh, wow.
So I had a lot of fun. I painted my nails and yeah.
All on the tube?
Oh, like that.
Down
wow.
the mountain. That's what happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had a good trip.
Colorado Rock Mountain High.
She looks vacationed. You know what I mean?
She's like, Colorado.
No, Colorado's a great spot, man.
So fun.
Denver Seminary is right in the middle of that city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't used to be. It used to be on the outskirts.
Okay. When you went, was it in the same location?
When I went, we were writing on slate with the sun.
Okay, well.
No, it was still in the same location.
Okay.
But it used to be, I mean, now you got Littleton and all those.
Yes.
Highlands Ranch, mm-hmm. all those big developments that just go way down, south, south, south.
So we have friends that are going to Denver Seminary. So we stayed on campus. So that was kind of fun to be able to.
Oh, you stayed on campus?
Yeah, we stayed on campus.
Cool.
So, and I forgot that that's where you went. And a lot of your stories are right there.
Denver, man. Uh-huh. Kipling Avenue, right down the road.
So fun.
Yeah, Denver's a great spot. You go to Cherry Creek Mall, downtown?
I did not do that. We did go to the art museum.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah, Denver's a cool town, man. I mean, it is so cool. We're going to have a great day today. We're talking, boom, impact.
Yes.
Give us a little impact mojo in there. Give us some.
Pow!
That's
okay,
it.
That'll work.
I love that. No, that is impact. Pow like that is impact. Isn't that great, Allie? He's bringing it already this morning.
I mean, I don't even know what to say when you give him these cues to just do crazy stuff.
Yeah. Hold on a second. We got a problem. We got a medical emergency here.
Uh-oh.
How's that? Are you okay?
Am I? I'm okay. I slept. You know, have you ever woken up with your
worst.
Like a serious crick in your neck?
Yeah, a little wonky.
It is one of the worst things because you can't move your head.
Oh, man. And so the pain of it woke me up an hour early.
Oh, no.
And so then I'm just laying there like, what is wrong with my neck? So I'm trying to get some mobility.
Are you getting it moved?
It's better than when I woke up, but I'm a little limited.
Well, we got to have one of the girls come in here and use that rubber outer thing. We got one of these rollers
in here. We have like a muscle roller.
Yeah, and it's a great tool.
Maybe this might help. If you've got any tips for me for a crick in my neck, send them my way. You can text me.
I think magnesium's a big help. Do you have any of that on you?
Not on me, but
at home.
For the neck?
Yeah, I think so.
Does that
for like muscles?
Yeah, I think magnesium. I mean, there's a lot
muscle
of cool
tension.
Natural. You know what's really cool is how much people are catching on to the fact that God put a lot of things in nature that can heal our stuff.
Well, I'm going to do some Google searches.
Yeah, then. Google it up. If you got any remedies for a crick in the neck.
Yeah, send them my way. Just text 312-274-9624. Tell me what I need to do so I can move my neck and not be in pain.
There we go. That's what we want. We're going to have a great day today. We're talking impact all week long. And today we're getting into the impact. Yesterday was salt. Today is light. Did a little bit of a deep dive on this and found out some fun stuff. We're going to have some fun with this today. Father, let it be a day where you are glorified in ways that would just blow our mind. And Father, we're thankful for the boom crew that's listening right now. Would you fire hose them with your blessing? Would you allow them to keep in step with your spirit? Lord, would you tell them and coach them exactly by the power of the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit? We just thank you that you are on the move, and God, we praise your name today, that you're going to do a good work. We thank you that Junie's coming in. Junie Felix is coming in today, Lord, and just pray your blessing on her life as she's getting ready this morning. Thank you for her book releasing and how many people are going to be encouraged and really healed by that. Let it be impactful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who sang that?
Collective Soul.
Oh, I love this.
5:15. Well, he has let it shine down, and it's shining in us, so he says, let it shine. We got a cool passage of scripture here, guys.
This is Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
I'm going to be saying this all day. One of the coolest things that I remember my dad saying to me that he learned from his good friend. I make reference every now and then to his good friend in the administration building in Anchorage, Alaska. He was a principal, and go into the ad building because you got to go in. It was called the ad building.
The what building?
The ad, as in administration.
Oh, okay.
They just, I don't know. I guess that's
shortened it.
That's all I remember hearing it as, and then many years later, I realized, oh, it's the administration building. I didn't know why it was the ad building. I just knew Dad went there. So he went down there, and one of his good friends is a woman named Effie Latham. And Effie was an all-in Jesus follower. She and Dad then would exchange notes constantly about they were studying. And he came in, he came home one day, and he said, Eva, Effie told me the best thing today. Mom said, well, what was that, Joe? Effie said, Joe, Jesus said, let your light shine. Don't make it shine. Let it shine. Joe, that means that the light is in us.
Oh.
We just got to pull the covers off.
Oh.
And I thought, you know what? Years later, that's some good theology.
It is.
Because really, the emphasis of this text here is exactly that. You let it shine.
Mm-hmm.
Some commentators say that this is really fascinating as I was studying this, is that the greatest danger here that Jesus is warning about is the fear of not letting your light shine.
What do you mean?
Because of the potential persecution. We've got to remember here, look at the last little blessed here. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then we get into the salt and light passage.
So, okay.
See, here's what's going on. There is a very real temptation for you and me to shrink under the risk of being reviled or hated or accused or looked down upon. That's what's going on here. So the only potential way that we can really, I think a lot of us look at this and go, I got to make my light shine. No, if you are in Christ, the light is in you.
Right.
You don't do dip diddly to make your light shine. You just make sure that fear doesn't keep you kind of clouded to the world around you.
And that would be the equivalent of putting it under a basket, right?
Yes.
That would be like a fearful thing. Like,
that's the point. It's a fearful move to put it under a basket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not neglectful. It's just fearful. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. But it says to put it on a stand. So you picture if you're in a house that's totally dark and you put that light somewhere in the middle and all of a sudden there's light throughout the house.
So what's it look like, guys? Let's just take a little bunny trail here. What's it look like to be fearful and not let your light shine?
Hmm.
Come on, give me a scenario or two.
I think when someone is sharing something with you and you know truth and you have an opportunity to share truth and love with them, but you don't take the opportunity because you're afraid of how they may respond.
Yeah. Have you ever had anyone, I've had this happen where, and I can't think of a specific case, but it'll come to me, where you're in a situation. I do know one in high school. Now, I wasn't born again, but I was a church kid, so I couldn't let my light shine. But I remember thinking, I'm getting the heck out of here. Mm. We were in D building, and a guy, I won't say his name because he's still alive, and who knows, he might be listening for all I know. He comes up to me and a group of friends, and he says, are you guys Christians? And I'm like, no, I mean, I'm like, I'm out of here, man. Oh, no. So I'm like cowering. Mm. And my buddy Mark Doner goes, absolutely. Mm. And I'm like, what? And he stood up to this very popular strapping guy.
Wow.
And he, with great joy in his heart, I mean, great joy. Mark Doner is one of the most radiant guys going. But with great joy in his life and an authentic faith. Now, I was confused because I didn't have the power of Christ in me. Mm-hmm. Trust me. After February 11th of 1984, you asked me that question, I'm going with Mark Doner. Absolutely. Mm. But I didn't know Jesus. But boy, Mark stood up. And I remember thinking, what a valiant dude to stand up in the face of that. Now, see, he had the potential right there to go, well, yeah, kind of, or whatever, kind of just kind of water that whole thing down. No, he just stood bold. That's it. Isn't that a great example?
It is.
Of letting your light shine.
You think about in high school, the pressures to kind of appear cool and stay in with certain crowds. And so it would have been very easy for him to kind of give a weaker answer or even almost apologize for it.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my parents make me go to church and everything, but there would be so many ways you can picture a high schooler
just bailing out of that thing.
Yeah, bailing out so that they wouldn't have to deal with that sort of spotlight, no pun intended.
But we can do that as adults.
No
question.
And
we can do that as neighbors. We can, you know, and if somebody's asking, where do you go every Sunday morning? You know, you can kind of shy away from that, especially if you're in a big, block party.
Yeah.
Out at a party. They're kind of huddled around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But are we going to let our light shine? Now, this is important to know this. This isn't that your Leco lights. You know what a Leco light is?
No.
Leco light is a spotlight. They cost a couple of grand, and they are the spotlights that if you see a person on a stage and they're just a singular figure on a stage and the whole room is dark, those are Leco lights that are lighting them up. So you're not a Leco light in that you are being the inspector general on someone's life, as in it is an illumination of what Christ is doing inside you. It's not for the purpose of trying to blind other people. It's for the purpose of radiating the glory of God. And it's a big difference. Coming up here in a moment, we got a question for you because someone has done this in your life.
Who was a light for you? It could have been a person. It could have been a group of people. A church, a ministry, they were a light, like a city set on a hill. And you, that's how you came to Christ. That's how you were drawn near to Christ. We'll take all of your stories on this. Someone, some group was a light for you.
Yes.
312-274-9624.
I got to tell my Dave Churchill story again here. Dave's awesome.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
We're asking you a question, guys. Let me tell you about Dave Churchill. I've said this before, but this is one of the coolest things. Dave Churchill was not a coward. So I am bombed off my rear end at a party in the oil fields. British Petroleum threw a big old Christmas bash or something. They flew a band in. They had an open bar. These things do not happen anymore.
This was back in Alaska?
This is pre-Christ days. I guess it's good to announce that. It wasn't last weekend. So I'm up in north of the Arctic Circle, a few hundred miles, and BP is throwing a party. I mean, the mother of all parties, and I'm lost as a goose. Guys, this is back in the day where we got cocaine up there. We got, I mean, it's just a craziness. Hmm. And I'm getting lit up, and I look across the room, and there's Dave Churchill, who's doing a church plant with my parents in Wasilla, Alaska, who works now. We had to fly 737s to where we go to work. When you go to work in Alaska, in the oil fields, you fly on a jet plane a few hours.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't know that.
No.
So, yeah, we flew a 737 And, you know, we land on a field that's an ice strip. It's Ooh. Just ice.
That sounds terrifying.
It's actually not too bad because the ice is super sticky because it's so cold. But yeah, flew up to the Pasi Alaska Range, all the way past the Arctic Circle, landed in Prudhoe Bay. We're working up there, so we're in this big old facility. It's like you've seen these movies where guys have these whole constructs on like Mars or something like that.
Right.
This is what it's like in Prudhoe Bay.
Yeah. Wow.
Because there's not much outdoors unless you're really working and bundled up like you can't believe. So it's like a totally different world. So we're in this climate controlled huge room and this big party's going on and Dave Churchill starts to walk my way and I'm like, oh no. And I told my buddy, I said, hold on to my beer. And Dave walks up to me and he put his arm around me and he said, hey Carl, I'm not going to embarrass you in front of your friends at all. But I want you to know something. I love you, man. And if you're ever hurting, I want you to know I am here for you. And then he walked away.
That's so powerful.
And I'm like, oh. Couldn't you have said you're a loser, Clausen, and you need to get back to church? That would have made it better, Dave.
So that what? So that you could have a reason to be.
Yeah, to get mad at him. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't. Dave Churchill was light to me.
Wow.
Let your light so shine before men that they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Come on, guys. Who shined the light for you that ultimately turned you on to Jesus? Super Die, tell us, sister, who did that for you?
Well, it wasn't so much for me personally, but it was a person that the first time in my Christian walk that I met somebody, like you mentioned, it just came off of
yes,
them.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
they walked in this aura of you can just tell they were in
word.
The spirit. They were godly. You felt it. You can look in their eyes. I mean, the tenderness there, the love, and that was Pastor Donald Cole and his wife, Naomi.
Wow.
Now, some of our older listeners may remember he hosted Open Line for 25 years here on Moody Bible, on Moody Radio. They used to call him the pastor of radio. We don't have that position or anything anymore.
Right.
But he was very much involved in Moody Radio, into the school, Angola Missionary. Oh my goodness. He traveled there almost until he passed away at the age of 89. He was still traveling to Angola. But
how did his light shine around you? What do
you
mean by that?
There was a warmth. He was able to tap in. He could look at you and just ask the question.
Yeah, that's good.
And even if he just asked the question, just giving you a word of encouragement, he could just go up to you and say, hey, how you doing? And he would say, you know what? I've got a Bible verse for you. And man, boom, he was on it.
That's
I'm like,
awesome.
Okay, that's only God. That is only God.
We're asking that for you guys. Think about it right now. Who was, and think about this. Maybe they were unashamed when others were.
Oh.
And they let their light shine when others wouldn't, but it turned you on to Jesus.
312-274-9624.
Young Thunder, my man, who lit you up? And I mean really let their light shine in a way that turned you to God.
Yeah, for me, it was my first roommate in college, Chris Chen. He was from Hong Kong. And he's actually a missionary in Hong Kong right now, so be praying for him.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, because Hong Kong is not
necessarily a hot
place
zone,
to be.
Dude.
Yeah.
And real quick note on that. They
please,
just imprisoned the editor of the biggest paper that talks. It's not even militant. They just talk about democracy and freedom, and they just imprisoned this guy just a few days ago. It's a hot zone, especially for Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when I had him as my roommate my freshman year, he wanted to pray with me at night before we both fell asleep. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And when he started his prayer, he started it off by going, hey, Dad. And then he would just talk. And I was like,
hold
oh, my
it.
Goodness. I was like, you just called God Dad? And I was like, I know he's our Father. And I was like, but I never really thought of it that personably.
That's great, man.
And so his just genuine heart prayer, he wasn't trying to impress me or anything like that, but his just genuine heart prayer was that. And it got me thinking and kind of opened up my relationship with God into more of that father-son relationship.
That is sweet.
That's actually so beautiful.
What's his first name?
Chris.
Chris Chen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was an awesome dude.
God, wherever Chris is right now, wrap your arms around him. Give him peace. Give him hope. And God, right now, give him a massive hug and confidence and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Top of the hour, let's break it down. All right, I need some light music here. What do we got? Give us something. What do you got? Turn it up. Woo!
Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, this is from Aquarius.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Peace, baby.
I know.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Bell bottoms roar.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Flaring away.
I love this.
When you hear the bass moving that good behind the behind the vocals, you know.
Swirl of color.
You know.
Yeah, he's a slapper. Let's replay that from the top. Let's listen to the bass line. I think he's slapping. Yeah, that's a slapper.
Oh. You think so?
I think so.
I love this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's
you
a fast plucking. We had a slapper at Change Point in Alaska.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness, man. You got a guy that's slapping as you put the thumb.
Yeah.
And bam, bam, bam. And they get, oh, my goodness, and something else. That's a little Aquarius there for you setting up the topic today. We've got a cool passage of scripture. I love this one. As a matter of fact, Robert Lewis went away one time with the elders of Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he came back with this passage in his mind with a brand new vision for our church in Little Rock.
Really?
That flew right out of this verse. It's right here in verse 14 of chapter 5. You are the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Verse 16, this is what led to what it was called. We had T-shirts for all 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people in the church called I Squared.
I Squared.
I Squared. I'll explain it to you here in a moment, but listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He looked at this verse and he's like, influence squared. He said, this is the way we do it. We let our light so shine before men that they will see our deeds and glorify our Father who's in heaven. And we were going into a season of giving our lives away to the community. And so he got these I Squared T-shirts, and that created more conversation across Little Rock than you can imagine. Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Right out of Matthew 5:16. I Squared. I'll never forget that season. It was really cool. It was really cool. So here's the thing, guys. I got to tell you. God is wanting you to let your light shine. And the only question is, what is the bushel or the basket or this thing that encumbers it? And you know what it is? It's fear. It's fear. Every commentator agrees on this one. Because what we find in this Sermon on the Mount is, blessed are you, the last B attitude here is, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here's what's going on. Every one of the commentators agree, but one nailed it. Let me see if I can find this guy. Hang on here a second. This is great. It's Barnes who nails this thing, and he says, listen, here's the deal. He says, the emphasis here is fighting back the fear. Let your light shine. In other words, fight through the fear factor of being reviled for your faith and let the light of Jesus shine. Let me ask you a question, guys. Here we go. Where do you get most intimidated to not shine the light? Come on, let's get honest. Where do you get most intimidated to not shine the light?
I think when I have the opportunity to share Christ with someone face to face,
you can sometimes hide it under a bushel.
I can, yeah.
Yeah.
I can shy away from it.
Yeah, I think where I've battled in the past, I can honestly tell you, I think getting older, you get past this stuff because you start seeing, you know, the old Brady Bunch counseling was when you're speaking to a group of people, imagine them all in their underwear. Remember, were you ever told that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's, I remember hearing that.
I don't know why, but yes, Brady Bunch. I do remember hearing
it. Yeah, and it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work at all, because all you think is, that's gross, and now I'm still scared to death. Mm-hmm. So but what's interesting is what I used to be intimidated by was I've had a lot of guys that have had high net worth that have been friends, and they have friends. And I used to go kind of a little bit weak in the knees about the faith around a couple of those guys.
Oh, that makes sense.
No more. No more. Because you know what? The longer you live, the more you realize. And, you know, I don't care who it is. I mean, Jeff Bezos has done some things lately that just proves to you, you can be the richest man on the planet and just do some really stupid people tricks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very true. You can make very unwise decisions about relationships and everything else. It's like, come on, people. We're all clay feet here. I don't care how much money you got. We're clay feet. And we need help.
I think for me is probably sharing my faith with family.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's
you know, and I've been able to hang out with some cousins of mine that do not know the Lord. And it kind of just... makes me nervous. Like,
you know,
do
what?
I go there?
Yeah.
Does it, because
do I have cred?
Yeah. And it's like, they
cause a rift.
Right. It could cause a rift.
And their world is so different than mine. So sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want them to feel this pressure, or I don't want them to feel awkward. That's what keeps me, you know, because the world is so opposite, but
I know.
You
still have to go there. And, so, let me give you some encouragement, because I got a cousin of mine that's a good dude. He has not surrendered to Jesus yet. And I've just gotten to the point with him where I'm just like, man, I just want you to know I love you. And I want the best for you. You know that. And this is why I want to talk to you about God and your soul. And you know what he says to me? I know you do, Carl. I know you do. Now, he's not broken yet. But it's yet. And sometimes it's just good to lay it out there rather than feeling like I need to witness here. It's just like, can I tell you what's on my heart? I have this relationship with God. It ain't perfect, but it stokes the coals like you can't believe.
And I want that for you.
And I want you that for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just best to say it.
To just say it.
And then just say, I know that could be awkward, but it doesn't have to be. And so I'm just laying it out here. Anyway.
I think that's good. And you know, sometimes family can be weird, especially cousins, because it's like you don't always see them. So,
I've got an uncle that's got an illusion of transformation guaranteed, bigger than Dallas.
Oh, no.
And I just don't know how to get through to this guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's kind of related to the family, but I think it's when you're with people who have Christian values and maybe a church background, but
that gets dicey.
You want to be careful not to miss. We don't know what's
you're not reading their mail.
Exactly.
I totally get
so, but
you suspect
that they may not know Jesus in an authentic way, that they're that the Christianity that they've kind of taken on is more of a
cultural
or more of kind of a by association.
It hurts.
And so you don't even know what to say.
I know.
That's where I think sometimes I can be
tongue-tied,
get a little like I'm getting right now.
Yeah,
it's hard. Know exactly what to say.
It's hard. These confessions are great because you know what? It helps us really identify, man, I get weak in the knees here. I need some prayer.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Asking you, where do you find yourself struggling to be bold sometimes with the gospel? Who is that with? What do you say, guys?
I think for me... it definitely is on social media.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it even kept me from writing a Bible content feature because I was afraid to like share my faith digitally.
Wow. What gave you the this is great. Huh. What gave you the breakthrough? Because you do it now boldly.
Yeah. It's just a part of my life. Like God is everything to me. And I felt like I was hiding a part of me, actually, and that I wanted to keep writing and I had something to say.
That's a great word, Sputnik. Yeah. What do you guys say?
I think it's with kind of peer groups, particularly in settings like where it's the blacktop after school or it's the places where it's not going to go deep unless you push it there.
And then it could go real deep.
Right. And so it, where things stay surfacey, sort of opinions or views are kind of thrown out there with no expectation that there will be a challenge. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where it's just like things just flow and you go, if I speak here, it's going to be kind of like throwing a grenade in the middle of what of a still pool of water where nobody's expecting
gotta let it stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. And you go, you know, do I say something here knowing that it will be a big thing? Or do I just kind of quietly stand and go along to get along?
Mm.
Good question.
Yeah.
What do you say, Super Day?
We touched base on this a little bit earlier in the show, but family, especially like extended family, because so many of the relationships are already on a very thin thread that I'm always afraid to cause any sort of division or break any type of relationship that is going on. So it's kind of like, just going to keep the peace. Yeah, just going to keep the peace.
Yeah, I know how that feels. That can be tough. Somebody texted this in. I love this. To me, this is exactly where a lot of us fall. Where is God calling you to shine a little bit more? ? They put. He's calling me to be more attentive person to the needs of others more than self.
Ooh.
Listen more, pray more, and meet the needs with resources I've been blessed with. Money, time, food, etc. How about that?
I so agree. Okay. I mean,
come on, man.
How powerful could that be for somebody?
Massively, guys.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Well, you know what? They call me a piece of work, and they look at Junie, and they go, you're worth the work. There we go. That's the way to introduce this book. Junie Felix back in the house here today.
Yes, this is a familiar name to many of you back when it was Carl and June. Junie Felix, adventurer, speaker, behavior designer. She's a C.S. Lewis Institute fellow, podcast and radio host, and now an author. Great book. You are worth the work. Moving forward from trauma to faith.
Some of you don't even need to know anything else. You just need to know the link. We're going to give that to you in just a minute, and you're going to be able to go get this book. They are pre-selling right now. The official release date
is August 17th.
Great. It's good to have you. You hear that voice, that resonating voice right here on radio. Okay, I'm going to do something really weird with you here. And because you like different and weird.
I do.
So here we go. I want to pick out two words out of the title of your book.
Mm-hmm.
Worth and work. No, seriously.
Yes.
Talk to us about the worth that we have in God and how God began to really work that in your heart.
Well, in matters of complex trauma recovery, and those of us who know, we know who we are. Often we stumble in our journey with Jesus because we deeply, at a root level, don't feel that we are worthy of the goodness and the love and the care of God. And that is something that's a mindset that we've been taught. It's mostly caught more, you know, it's mostly taught more than caught,
yeah.
You know, to believe that you're not worthy of the abundant life that Jesus wants for you. And the thing about the trauma recovery journey, the healing journey, I call it, is that it's work. And one of the first ways to succeed in moving forward in tiny ways is to just understand that you're worth the work. Jesus thought so for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's you and that's me.
Yep.
And it's work.
And it is work.
But Junie, you are a trauma survivor as much as you're comfortable. Can you talk about your journey through trauma and recovery?
I'll be glad to. I was literally born into a whirlwind. And there are many out there who will resonate with this, but there are so many of us who are complex trauma survivor, which means we have layers and levels of trauma that go very deep. My trauma goes all the way back to pre-verbal. That's actually the term for it, pre-verbal trauma. Mm-hmm. When things were happening happening to you that you literally had no words to describe or understand or feel or process because you were an infant or a toddler.
And no control over your situation.
Exactly. And so if you're born into this whirlwind onto planet Earth, I mean, many of us, it's like being an alien born onto planet Earth mm-hmm. into this community of people. And for those of us who weren't dealt the safe, healthy, happy home card, it starts layering up until you have this stack of what's called adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, as they're known, that echo into the decades to come and affect you in ways that you might not realize until you're willing to do the work.
Now, the interesting thing about the gospel, because we've talked about this a ton, Junie, is that the economy of God's kingdom is upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the first will be last. If you want to go higher, you got to go lower. There is a crazy silver lining in the love of God that you've experienced because of your trauma that some people never get.
Oh, absolutely.
You
yes.
love to talk about that.
I do. And I love it that you invited me in on this day. And, you know, Diana, Super Di, whoever's idea it was, it was God's idea.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
are the light of the world. We've
yes.
been celebrating that all day long. But there are very, very few things that dim the light like trauma. Like the betrayals and the abuse and the ongoing situations and scenarios that leave us feeling so broken and wounded. And so if I think about my journey, one of the light bearers who came into my life, I was 17 years old. As I mentioned, I was born into a world when I wasn't raised in the church. I heard people mention Jesus. You know, the name gets thrown around.
Right.
You go to a service or two, but the adults in your life or the people in your life that are influential, you know, you can't really tell what difference Jesus makes. So when you're born into traumatic experiences, for me, it was hunger, it was homelessness, it was ongoing abuse. My mother was sick her whole life. I never knew her well. I decided at age 5 that it was up to me to help take care of her. That's a lot of responsibility
for a
5-year-old.
That's a lot of responsibility.
So the light bearers, one of the ones that comes to mind, the brightest is Miss Linda Jarvis. I was in the 11th grade, and I went to high school for half the day, but the other half of the day, I carpooled to a data entry company, where I worked the other half of the day to provide food and water and electricity for me and my siblings and my family.
Oh, my word.
And so I'm in this carpool, and Linda, she hands me this book, this big book, this Bible. And she says, she doesn't pressure or preach. She just says, this might help you. I know you like to read, and this might help you to understand your worth. And at the time, I believed I had no worth. That if there was a God, that he was like my parents, uncaring, abusive, cruel, and always had something better to do than tend to me.
My goodness.
But through the words of the scripture, I met Jesus, the most kind and loving and compassionate human being I'd ever known. And God discipled me through his word, and the first thing he taught me was how to pray, and he taught me who I am in Christ. If emotional abuse, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse teaches you something about yourself, in the scriptures, you have the chance to learn how God feels about you, and you always have the opportunity to take that chance if you want to.
Coming up here in a moment, Junie, I want you to share that story. I don't know if you remember telling me this or not. But you told me the story about being walking into, I believe it was a truck stop bathroom.
I wish I had just walked in.
And it became home for a night or two or longer.
Yeah.
And that was a crazy maker. So coming up in a moment, we're going to go to a truck stop with Junie. And better than that, we're gonna watch how God had these little stops along the way in her life. And that's the game changer coming up. Straight ahead.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
What a treat, man. I love having Junie back in here. And yeah, I'm with you, 3382. Miss you. So good to hear your voice. Ah, we agree. So here's the deal. We've got a pre-sale link for you guys. Go get a copy right now. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about someone else beside yourself who's gone through some really difficult issues of trauma, and they're moving forward from trauma to faith, and you want to help them along this path. This is it. This is what you got to grab. It's called You Are Worth the Work by Junie Felix, and this thing's coming out in partnership. Tyndale and
Nav Press
are working together on this one. So here's what you do right now. text the word Junie, J-U-N-I, to our number here. Get the link, and I'm asking you to go buy two copies at least. Junie, J-U-N-I, to 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Okay, I asked for a story because I think people need to understand when you hear about trauma, you go, okay, yeah, trauma, yeah, yeah. No. Trauma can be as simple as and as heartbreaking as you got no place to stay and your home was a truck stop bathroom for a while. Explain that, because that's heartaching.
Well, there were several public restrooms in my journey in my formative years. And, you know, my mom, she did the best she could. Like
yes,
I said,
she did.
She was unwell. But and I do believe she did, you know. But anyway, we spent a lot of time as kids in places that were not necessarily, you know, safe and clean, you know, so public restrooms, I still have a little bit of an aversion. I don't like being alone in public restrooms. And it's really a good example because, you know, when you know, you're scared when you see everybody's bigger than you and you're in a public place and it's dirty and it's cold. And, you know, that's just one of the many experiences that I went through that created these echoes that lasted well into my adult years. But, you know, those are some terrible things, but there are also some good things. I mean, one of my worst traumatic memories was about age 9, around that same season of homelessness, where I first sat in front of the Apple IIe computer at public school and fired up my wagon to conquer the Oregon Trail. And that was the same year I fell in love with how things work, with programming and systems design and coding. And that love for how things work led me to become a little mini researcher who grew into a bigger researcher.
Yes.
And so I realized through the word of God, I have to give the Lord all the credit for that, because I thought, you know, if abuse can do this much damage, then how much good can love and hope and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, if evil can do this much damage, then how much good can the maker of the multiverse do in my life?
Boom.
So as a child, you know, I just started researching and doing everything I could to find relief from the echoes of that trauma, the daily heartache and sorrow, and the life in survival mode that is just exhausting.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that there are solutions and there are systems that work. Goals won't work and willpower won't work, but there are systems that work.
Boom.
So let's talk about those systems. You say that your book offers a systematic solution for trauma recovery based on behavior design. That's a mouthful. What do you mean by behavior design, and what are these systems?
Well, behavior design is a comprehensive system for thinking clearly about human behavior and designing simple ways to transform lives. In the behavior design community, I'm a member of Dr. B.J. Fogg's Stanford University Behavior Design Teaching Team. That's a mouthful.
That's a great team, by the way.
Well, we study and teach the science of human behavior. It has been proven globally. And we have models and methods that we use for teaching how human behavior works, because God is a systems guy.
Yes.
He's not chaotic. And human behavior is not random and unpredictable. It's systematic. So the same systems and models and methods that are used for the most popular software programs and services all over the world can be used to reverse engineer your way out of that sorrow. Because I'm very proactive. Carl knows this.
Yeah.
I don't call anything in. And when I was fighting that sorrow and losing and failing year after year, I knew there had to be a solution. I said, Lord, show me. And that's when I really moved in full throttle to the behavior design, science of behavior design, which I call the science of love. It's all about the tiny.
Hmm. Okay. Wow, this went by so fast. Junie has written a book, guys. It's called You Are Worth the Work, Moving Forward from Trauma to Faith. And she's nailed it. I got to tell you something right now. You cannot goal set. You cannot willpower. You cannot bootstrap your way out of your trauma and out of your funk. But the Holy Spirit can lift you up. This book is going to really help direct you into systems that will do that very thing. You Are Worth the Work. Text the word Junie right now to us, and you'll get a link. It's in pre-order mode until the 17th. Get it, and let's just grab a copy for not only yourself, but maybe a family member or someone you know or love that's going through some trauma. Junie, J-U-N-I, to 312-274-9624. You know how much we believe in Junie around here, and really the God of Junie's heart. Junie, we got time for, I want to give you the floor. Come on, you've been a host, so
yes.
The floor is yours. What do you want to say to the listener right now?
Well, I want you to know that if you are struggling with the echoes of the pain of the past, with the echoes of the loss and all the fear and exhaustion that goes with that, you're constantly exhausted from holding it all inside. And I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. It's just because of a fundamental misunderstanding we have about how human behavior actually works. And I want you to know that it's not a sin to have a broken heart. And that is a direct quote.
That's a great quote.
One of our favorite pastors, Bob Mohler, he was the first one to say this. Junie, you need to stop confessing and realize it's not a sin to have a broken heart. Slow down and let God heal your heart. Let him hold you and love you back to life. Stop shaming and blaming and condemning yourself for the fact that you're not healed yet. So often we show up to church and we're on life support. We show up to the ER and instead they put a white coat on us and tell us to go start seeing some other patients. No. I'm on life support.
Yeah, I'm barely making
help.
It here.
Exactly. No.
Somebody listen.
You cannot pray your way out of trauma. You can't memorize scripture out of trauma. You can't serve your way out of trauma. You have to partner with God in the healing journey. We're so hard on ourselves, you know. We don't expect ourselves to do things if we have a broken leg. There's certain things you can't do.
Yeah, that's true.
But we walk around and we condemn ourselves for having a broken heart.
Mm. Beautiful, Junie. Junie. That's her name, people. You are worth the work moving forward from trauma to faith, and the text messages are flying out of here. It's simple. Let me spell it for you, though. Some of you going, Juno, no, it's Junie.
I think that's an autocorrect.
Okay. The autocorrect.
Yeah, are getting defeated by the autocorrect. J-U-N-I. Just make sure you get that I at the end. J-U-N-I, Junie, to 312-274-9624.
Yeah, Junie, 312-274-9624. Sister? Let me do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you would allow captives to be freed, that you would allow the wounds of the brokenhearted to be turned into sacred scars, that you would allow your glory to shine through broken vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. Text Junie, J-U-N-I, to 312-274-9624. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.